flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I think we're less than 60 days until opening day of Major League Baseball, which makes it a perfect time to head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we talk to our friend Jacob Calvin Meyer, who covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. And Jacob, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. I'll start with David Rubenstein. And it was, what, late March, early April, opening day, where he was talking about how he didn't want this to be the high water mark. He wanted to talk about World Series, all that. And now he was recently in Switzerland wanting a salary cap. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, two things can be true at the same time. David Rubenstein has said he wants to speed up the effort to win a World Series, and maybe he's not going at the speed that Orioles fans want him to, but I think that that's true. At the same time, billionaires tend to operate in their own self-interest, and a salary cap in Major League Baseball is solely in the billionaire's best interest and not in the players. So I think those two things can be true at the same time.
Dylan Carlson brought into the fold. It feels like we're at that stage where they're kind of just, you know, shopping out some guys on the fringes, and this is where it's at. I know they made a trade last year this time of year, but we're not hearing much. Those teams don't seem to be super motivated sellers. Like, I don't think they want to give Dylan Cease away. So do you think this kind of is what it is for now?
Yeah, my guess is that this is what it is. It seems like Dylan Carlson, if he's on the 26-man roster, which I'm not sure he will be, but if he is, he might be operating in a sort of Aaron Hicks-esque role, probably a little bit reduced, but a switch hitter, better against lefties. So that makes some sense to kind of fill out the 40-man roster. Perhaps if Jorge Mateo isn't ready for opening day, or if they go in another direction with him, maybe Carlson makes the roster. But when it comes to a trade and whether that's going to happen, I think it might depend more, honestly, on the sellers than on the buyers. Like, how aggressive are the Padres going to be before the season to trade some guys? Is their ownership situation, does that push them to make these trades, or does it push them to hold off until the deadline, see what the first half of the season looks like for them? I think Ken Rosenthal today reported that Michael King might be on the market. That's another guy that would make a lot of sense for the Orioles, and in addition to a lot of other teams, considering how great Michael King is. So the Padres make a lot of sense as a trade partner. The Mariners would as well, of course. We talk about that every
yes.
every day, and it just doesn't happen. So my guess is that if I had to put money on something, I would say that this is that this is it, and there's not going to be a big trade before before spring training.
Jacob, we haven't talked to you in a little bit, but Anthony Santander signing with the Blue Jays, a ton of that money is deferred. You have the opt-out. You have the club option. Are you surprised that the Orioles didn't jump in and try to break that fall?
No. Okay, so in from a 30,000-foot view, like if you would say, oh, Anthony Santander gets a contract that's worth $13.5 million per year in present-day value, would I expect the Orioles to have been more competitive there? Yes. But the way I look at it, at least, is that the present-day value calculations, they matter for the team and they matter for the luxury tax. But to the player, the total number of dollars still matters, right? Anthony Santander is still going to get $92 million from that deal, even though it's going to come over a longer stretch of time. You know, when he's retired, it's not like he's going to be making a crazy amount of money. So when those checks come in, they're going to feel pretty nice. And so, you know, these deferrals are in some ways really good for players. And that's why they are taking those deals. It's something that maybe allows them to get a little bit more money than they would otherwise in a straight deal. And so if you would have told me before the off season began that Santander would get $92 million, I would have said that the Orioles would not give him that much money. And the fact that the deal was a little weird and included some other factors is probably just something that helped Santander and the Blue Jays ink the deal instead of making it, oh, should the Orioles have gotten involved at that number.
We're talking with Jacob Calvin-Meyer. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Jacob, I'm going to ask you a question that we posed just the three of us earlier and curious your answer. So if I gave you Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo, Heston Kerstedt, and Cade Povich, who are you most confident is going to make an impact this season of those
four? Right now, opening day, season started tomorrow, who's most ready to cook?
Yeah, I'll put my money on Jackson Holliday. I think if you're going to ask me who's most likely to have a 750 OPS of those three hitters, it's Heston Kerstedt easily, especially considering that's basically his career OPS as is.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other concerns about Kerstedt as a player, his defense. He has had trouble staying healthy at times in his career. I know last year was more of a fluke than anything. And then the playing time is a big question for him. And then Mayo's probably not even going to be on the opening day roster. And then what his path to consistent playing time is, you know, a little bit tenuous at this moment. But I think Jackson Holliday showed, I think most people, Orioles fans otherwise, would be best if they just ignore Jackson Holliday's first stint in the major leagues. I find it almost irrelevant that he went, whatever it was, 2-for-36 or with 18 Ks or whatever it was. If you look at from July on, it was a pretty solid first taste of the big leagues for a 20-year-old. He showed some really high highs. He struggled at moments and then got out of it. He made a late season swing change that I think is going to be great for him. He got better defensively as the year went on. I would expect that at the beginning of the season, Jackson Holliday, I think the best case for Holliday is at the beginning of the year, he's maybe a league average player. And then by the end of it, you really start to see him ascend. He becomes a plus second baseman. He becomes a guy that's walking more. He's maybe has that gap-to-gap power. He's hitting triples, right, instead of trying to go for the home run ball. I would definitely say Jackson Holliday of those four players.
One of the things that we, and I think you were with us on this, bemoaned last year was there seemed to be a bit of a leadership void. And one person who did get a lot of accolades for sort of unifying the clubhouse and Latin guys and English speakers and non-English speakers, what was Anthony Santander. And this team went into quite a second half tailspin. And I don't know who the bad cops were. Like, they never pulled out of it. And a lot of their young leaders struggled. And now I look at it and they brought in a part-time platoon outfielder and a really bad defensive backup catcher. And I'm like, And you brought in some experienced pitchers, one who's never pitched in the big leagues, and I don't think he speaks English, and another one who's 41 years old and pitches every 5 days. Like, am I crazy, or no. Did they actually go even more, we got it all figured out where they're kids, don't worry about it, intangibles don't matter, leadership doesn't matter.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
No, you're definitely not crazy to at least have it as a question in your mind or wonder what that's going to look like. Are people going to step up? You know, in a span of 6 months, this organization lost Austin Hayes, James McCann, and Anthony Santander, who you would have probably put in three of their top five leaders to start last season. And so I'm not the type of person that personally makes the one-to-one connection of they struggled in the second half, therefore there was a leadership problem, right? I don't make that connection. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I just don't necessarily make it. That doesn't mean that leadership doesn't matter and that the intangibles don't matter. Maybe, right? This might be Cope on the team side, but maybe they're looking at this and saying, "Hey, maybe getting rid of a couple of leaders does lead some of the young guys who aren't that young anymore to step up and become leaders." Maybe after a while of having all of these veterans that you're relying on to be leaders, maybe it stunts the growth of your young players and it. You know, Jordan Westberg, there's nothing stopping Jordan Westberg from being the leader of this team,
yep,
right?
I agree with that.
But except last year, what was stopping him was the fact that there were already leaders on the team. And so I'm not saying – I wouldn't say that leadership is a concern, but it's definitely a question that's going to be asked in spring training. It's definitely something that's that we're going to keep our eye on. And if the first half of 25 looks like the second half of 24, you're going to start hearing that talk even more.
No. Hey there. We got a new listener.
Yes, we have the baby.
Jacob, you mentioned Kobe Mayo earlier in the segment and how you think that he, as things currently stand, will start the year at AAA. I think we're all in agreement there. But how do you expect the Orioles to handle Kobe Mayo when they get to Sarasota? Are they still going to toy with the third base experiment? Is it just going to be first base? Could we see him some in right field?
I don't think right field's going to happen. My guess is it's going to be pretty close to 50-50 third base and first base. And going into the season, Kobe Mayo is going to be the next man up if any of the seven infielders get hurt, because he has the ability to play both corners, and the team does have some pretty solid depth middle infield-wise. And so that's my expectation for Mayo. I think the talking point will be that he has the ability to go out and win a job in spring training. Is that true? I don't know, right? We heard that with Jackson Holliday last spring. The kid did everything he, you know, could have possibly done and then didn't make the team. And so, but I think they're going to tell Kobe Mayo, I think they're going to say publicly that he has a chance to make the team. And then they'll see if there's any injuries that pop up. They'll see how Jorge Mateo's health is. They'll see what their roster composition looks like and, you know, maybe something changes with somebody like Arias or with Mateo. But the most likely opportunity for Kobe Mayo to get playing time is somebody ahead of him getting hurt, or he has a great first 6 weeks in Norfolk, and then one of the guys on the big league roster is struggling, and they make a switch.
That would be interesting, though, because that's the same Kobe Mayo that they tried to sell their fans last year, that Kobe Mayo and we don't need to do anything at the deadline big, because Kobe Mayo and Kobe Mayo and Jackson Holliday are going to be a big part of our second half. So there would be a certain irony in that the following year he starts back in Norfolk. And I'm with you. I think he's absolutely going there unless there's a bunch of injuries. But I just felt compelled to bring that up.
My expectation for mayo is it's a disappointing condiment. Is that I'm a mustard guy. But anyway, Jacob Calvin-Meyer, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, brother.
Coming up next, we get back to the Terps. And how good are they? What are they capable of now? Have we changed our opinions about Maryland basketball? We discuss next here on The Fan.